It's showtime.
It's Friday!
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Go, we're off and running. I'm not sure for how long, to be quite honest. It's the sixth day of April 2018. This is the Horn. Headon.live is where we live, and that's where you go to get into the brand new fan freaking tastic chat room. Already we have a nice gathering in there with end of the week pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all around great guy Steve from Georgistan, Anatole, Asa, me, Foam Cups, Silent R. Lamar, we're all there. Just waiting for you. But I gotta be brutally candid. I don't know how long I'm good for. I'm not gonna do Friday on the Front Porch this evening, I'm sorry. Among other things, I got word that Sparky's got family in. But beyond that, I had something happen last night / this morning after the previous week of dual broadcasting. I broke a tooth. I don't exactly know how. But I broke the first molar immediately to the left of my left lower eye tooth. And immediately, my face swelled, that portion of my lower jaw swelled up to look like the happiest squirrel in the world who had just found an entire tree full of acorns. It hurts. It hurts real bad. And this is not to elicit sympathy or anything like that, but I'm just telling you where the situation stands. I spent the better part of the afternoon in the doctor's office because there was no way to get to a dentist. And so I just I waited and got a prescription for some antibiotics that will hopefully cut into the inflammation. And I've got about 36 hours to make this get better so I can get on the road and get to D.C. without being in untrammeled agony. Oh, joy. But I didn't want to just say, "Hey, I'm hanging up the cleats tonight," because I felt like y'all deserved an explanation, especially since so many did so much to meet all the challenges this week, and especially last night, and get us caught up to the point where and thanks very kindly to Alma and to Kelly. We would have entered the program this evening with $456 to finish the week and to finish next week as well. With that in mind, though, regardless for how long I'm here, I have thank yous to send out to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to our buddy of long standing, Sal, and thanks to Laurel up in far southwestern Minnesota, as well as to Chris in Germany, and to to Kitty in Boston. Thanks to our buddy Bob in North Carolina. Thank you very much to Kim in New Jersey. To Don in West Tennistan. To Brock in PA. And to Alex in New York, all of whom are partial sponsors of this evening's program. And thank you one and all to all of our subscribers. Well, you know, that's you probably are right. Foam cups in the chat room saying, never had a broken tooth, never want one. Rather lose a toe. Never lost a toe, so I don't have a benchmark to compare with, but whoo, do Jesus Dill Harris, this hurts. And so I'm hosing down the tooth with Orajel, eating ibuprofen like M&Ms, and taking my antibiotics and hoping for the best. What's that, Marty? Marty says, another casualty, you, Nicole Sandler, Hartman, all of you down with dissimilar maladies. By God, that sounds like a conspiracy. And meanwhile, spring gets delayed for want of interest, I guess, around here this evening. About 1 o'clock tonight, we're supposed to get a winter storm. And it's going to snow all the way through about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I can't tell you how not happy I am about that. But as it stands, because so much has been done, where we are, we got $456 to finish the week. And if we have to make it up when I get back a week later, then that's what we'll do. Yeah, that's a good idea. I might want to get some Esther C. there, Scott and Punky. That's a good idea indeed. So, you know, there is stuff that deserves mention this evening, especially when it's happy news. And there's some good news coming out of, for instance, Massachusetts. Home to folks like Kitty in Boston and Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Because there was a win in regard to firearms today. And it's a pretty impressive win at that. In the wake of the Pulse nightclub shooting, Massachusetts moved to take action against semi-automatic assault rifles. And so they passed a ban that would make it illegal to sell things like AR-15s and AK-47s and their various knockoff progeny. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, one of those bizarre right-wing gun-humper groups sued. And the case found itself in the United States District Court. And this is where it gets kind of sweet. Because the United States District Judge who heard the case took the words of, I'm sorry, I'm just a little slow here, took the words of fat dead Tony Scalia in the Heller decision and used them against the Gun Goobers of America, or whatever the group was. The case was heard by U.S. District Judge William Young. And given the fact that he upheld the ban, you'd think he must be some sort of sissy liberal. Maybe a Clinton appointee or an Obama, but no. Judge William Young was appointed to the federal bench by Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself. And he specifically used language from Heller to uphold the ban. In particular, the gun goobers said, "But it's a popular gun." And Judge Young said, "The AR-15's present-day popularity is not constitutionally material. This is because the words of our Constitution are not mutable. They mean the same today as they did 227 years ago when the Second Amendment was adopted." Quoting Fat Dead Tony Scalia, Judge Young said, "Weapons that are most useful in military service, M16 rifles and the like, may be banned and have no particular protection under the Second Amendment. So celebrate. Enjoy. Take the victory, and, you know, understand, of course, that the damn thing will have to go up. It'll go through the U.S. Circuit Court, and it'll eventually find its way to the Supreme Court of the United States. But you almost have to think there's a fighting chance there that law just may survive. And the Gun Goobers of America and the National Ruble, I mean Rifle Association, and the Gun Humpers for Freedom, and all the other bizarre, well-financed groups, will have their hero, Fat Dead Tony Scalia, to thank for it. I just freaking love that. And I hope it sticks. God, I hope it sticks. But no, it's a straight-up ruling. A Massachusetts assault weapon ban is not violative of the holy, sacred Second Amendment. And that, like I said, that goes in the win column. So, what else? There's a lot else. There's lots more else. You know, just stuff to ponder over the course of the weekend. The ban was upheld in Massachusetts. On the other hand, one of those right-wing hate radio people, guy I've never heard of, he's called named Jamie Allman, posted on Twitter. You know, yesterday we were talking about the Senate candidate here in West Virginia, who's the current attorney general, who says he wants to blow up Washington, D.C. Well, Jamie Allman wants to ram a hot poker up Parkland survivor David Hogg's ass. Tweeting, Allman said, "I've been hanging out getting ready to ram a hot poker up David Hogg's ass tomorrow. Busy working, preparing." Mm-hmm. This guy's in St. Louis. He's nowhere near David Hogg, hopefully. But I see nothing in the reporting about this that says that Allman's Twitter account has been suspended. Because, of course, Twitter's not very good at policing that sort of threatening behavior. right? Yeah. So that too. I feel a sense of sort of being at sea here, because I know I'm not going to be on the air for the next few days, not just the weekend, but going to D.C. afterward. And just kind of want to get all the stories in. That's really not realistic. Hey, thanks very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont for taking us down to $446 to go in fundraising. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very much. Steve in New York with a question. Why is it that all right-wing I'm going to get you metaphors involve death and violence? Why are they so oriented toward eliminationism? There's another one. I guess that's the same question. And why is it so often that when white wingers get angry, they start thinking about people's rear ends? I don't know. Hey, did I do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Sorry, the Motrin and the Orajel must be getting to me. Woo, Orajel party. But, okay, here's one that just sort of snuck in. Brand new, hot off the presses from the Hill. Living proof that some folks just can't learn. We'll have to go to South Carolina for this. You might remember that a century and change ago, 158 years ago or so, some folks in South Carolina got it into their heads that they'd like to not be part of the United States anymore. They'd been muttering this sort of thing for a couple of decades. It, at one point in time, caused Andrew Jackson to come near losing his temper and said he was going to start hanging him some South Carolinians, at which point they shut up for a little while. But if you're a decent human being, you might want to think about leaving South Carolina, because it might get a little hot there. And I'm not talking about the weather. The last time South Carolina got all froggy, they didn't learn until General William Tecumseh Sherman had burned some sense into the state. Well, reading directly from the story, a group of Republican state legislators, I'll add parenthetically, who have problems learning, in South Carolina introduced a measure Thursday, that would be yesterday, that would allow the state to secede from the United States if the federal government began to seize legally purchased firearms in the state. Mm-hmm. The bill was referred to the state House Judiciary Committee and not simply laughed out of the building, or maybe dismissed as being entirely treasonous. That would have been a good thing. No, it was sent to the State House Judiciary Committee, and it purports to allow South Carolina legislators to begin discussion of secession from the United States of America if, in the words of the Hill newspaper, if the federal government were to violate the Second Amendment. Here's the funny thing, though. Fluid idea, that violate the Second Amendment. For instance, I can imagine that this little legislative tantrum was probably occasioned by the words of Justice John Paul Stevens in the last couple of weeks, who suggested it might be a fine thing for us to finally get around to actually repealing the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Now, here's the funny thing about repealing the Second Amendment to the Constitution. If it gets the votes to do it, two-thirds in the House, two-thirds in the Senate, and two-thirds of the states ratify the amendment to repeal, that would not violate the Second Amendment. It would eliminate the Second Amendment. You know, just like ever so many good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans in South Carolina would like to pass a constitutional amendment saying that women don't have a right to privacy or to control the workings of their own body or to the constitutional process known as abortion. If that ever does come around, and they're still working on it, it would not be a violation of that principle. It would be an elimination of it. Language from the bill in South Carolina. The General Assembly shall convene to consider whether to secede from the United States based upon the federal government's unconstitutional violation of the Second Amendment to the new United States Constitution if the federal government confiscates legally purchased firearms in this here state. This bit of treasonous idiocy was the brainchild of three members of the South Carolina House of Representatives, Mike Pitts, Jonathan Hill, and Ashley Trantham. Oh, Ashley. It likely won't make it through the Senate. It's a symbolic gesture. Probably won't make it out of committee in the House. But the principle is there. These goddamn fools, whose great-great-great-great-grandpappies had to be taught a hard lesson, are apparently itching to be retaught. You know, it took a lot of manpower for Sherman to march in there and burn the place to the ground. It took a lot of military resources. If South Carolina decided to secede this time through, I doubt, hell, you could probably do it with a couple of B-52s. Whoops. And yeah, okay, it's three idiots. But it's three idiots who were elected to say that kind of stupid shit by a whole bunch of other idiots. That's why I was saying, you know, if you're a normal, decent human being, you might want to think about getting while the getting's good. Especially if this thing ever gets reintroduced and gets any closer to, passage and getting signed into law and whatnot. Marty with the question. Any of those South Carolinian legislators of any darker hue by any chance? I'd kind of guess that the answer is no, but I do not have empirical data to support that. Marty, just saying. Mm-hmm. So, we'll just keep an eye on that. In other considerably disturbing news, turns out we have found out today that the Department of Homeland Security has a hankering for an enemies list. That's what we called it. That's back when Nixon was doing it. No, really. The Department of Homeland Security has stated that it would like to hire out some work to compile a list of, not just every media outlet, no. They want to actively monitor news sources numbered in their hundreds of thousands all around the world. Then they want to put together a database of journalists and editors, foreign correspondents, and bloggers, and they then want to identify what are being referred to as media influencers. We've discussed the fact that influencers entered the lexicon some time back, and strange term. They want a contractor who will do this for them. And then they want to be able to monitor any and all coverage of the Department of Homeland Security or of any particular event that the Department of Homeland Security deems worthy of its scrutiny. Funny, it was last night, I think, Clarity and I were talking about the Joe's Garage trilogy by Frank Zappa, and I remember in Act One of Joe's Garage, that that recording is periodically interrupted by a dark and foreboding voice saying, "This is the central scrutinizer." Sounds like the Department of Homeland Security wants to be a central scrutinizer. The request for information was released on April the 3rd. Here's where it gets even creepier. The Department of Homeland Security says that it also wants to know what the sentiment of the outlet is. It also wants to know where it is geographically. It wants to know who the top posters are. It wants to know what language the posts are made in. It wants to know what kind of momentum the posts have. And they want to know how broadly the medium circulates. As rationale for this, the DHS statement says, "We have a critical need to incorporate these functions into DHS programs in order to better reach federal, state, local, tribal, and private partners." At present, the number is around 290,000. That's the number of global news sources, online, print, broadcast, cable, radio, trade, industry publications, local, national, international outlets, social media. They want to track it all to the tune of 290,000 sources. They want to track it in 100 languages, Arabic, Chinese, Russian, and instantaneous translation into English. Then they want a media influence database. When an influencer is identified, they want present contact details and any other information that could be relevant, including publications this influencer writes for, and an overview of the previous coverage published by the media influencer. The last time that influencer word came up, I think we were talking about a bunch of models on Instagram. I don't think that's what the Department of Homeland Security has in mind. I don't know where you stand on the definition of what is and is not Orwellian, but yeah, to me, this is pretty damned Orwellian. And it's not in the least imaginary. Yeah, I don't care what Geezer Disgustus says. That is not fake news. No. So, just a few stories to bounce around in the coming week. By the way, with the trade war coming with China, which we were informed today by Larry Kudlow, it's not a trade war, and he continued his mantra of "Don't blame us, blame China." Nah, we'll blame Trump. We'll blame the guy who started it. Thanks, Larry. So there's going to be tariffs on steel and aluminum. And beyond that, after the Chinese announced, okay, well, we'll have us some soybean tariffs, Trump responded by saying, "All right, we'll put in more tariffs. It'll be worth $100 billion in stuff from China. Oh, but we've carved out an exemption that won't include, like, the sewing factories. That clothing will not be included. Curiously, it just so happens that the presidential daughter, for whom he often apparently lusts, Ivanka, yeah, she's got lots of sweatshops in China. Yeah, who'd have thought? Right, yeah. Yeah, this under the idea of creating the lowest consumer impact. The idea being to keep prices from going up over to Wally World and Target and all the other places where Chinese sweatshop clothing is sold and Chinese sweatshop toys are marketed. Ivanka is good for a cool $1.5 million a year from the Trump Organization, according to recent calculations by Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. First, last, and always, Trump takes care of Trumps. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh, subject line, I suggest a name change for DHS. How about Big Brother? Meanwhile, Larry Kudlow is another of those fuckers that is wrong all the time, yet manages to fail upward. Well, that wingnut affirmative action is the best affirmative action this country has ever invented. Without a doubt. Well, thanks for the remedy there, Steve. I'm told to combine one clove of garlic with a sprinkling of salt and crush into a fine paste. Apply the mixture sparingly directly onto the affected tooth. Applying too much can leave a strong burning sensation. Leave for several minutes before rinsing with warm salt water. I like garlic. Might have to try that. By the way, Brother Deacon just noted, if you ever manage to pass proper gun control reform in that there country, I promise you Trump will take credit for it. Oh, it's fabulous gun. No. I don't know. I think that's a Trump too far, Brother Deacon Asa, but you know, maybe that's just me. So, big thanks. Big thanks going out to Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you very, very kindly. $446 to go just turned into $346, and I can't thank you enough. As it stands, though, just sitting here for the last 45 minutes or so, I think I need to get horizontal, if that's okay with y'all. I'm due for a dose of ibuprofen and probably another good squirt of Orajel and maybe some garlic and salt. Who knows? As Scott and Punky note, and it keeps vampires away, too. I mean, you don't see any vampires lurking about, do you? Nope. So I'm looking forward to being back here a week from today. And I will try to get out of Washington, D.C. as early on Friday as I possibly can and hope that there are no nasty traffic jams or anything like that. And I'll be back here and hopefully feeling considerably better. And then the week after that, going and, oh joy, visiting a dentist and, you know, getting this thing ripped out of my head. But thank you, Labor Man, saying get well, Bob. Steve from Georgia Stan saying yapping is not going to help your situation. No. But I'm glad if it had to happen, I'm glad it happened now and not 2 days ago, because hoo-wee, wouldn't that have been fun? Well, Marty, I understand. I would recommend rum, too, save for the fact. And you know what? Rum with a little bit of honey dissolved in it and a big handful of whole cloves, and just sort of sit there and hold it in your mouth. But, you know, I don't do that anymore. Damn it. But what do you say you have some for me? Bill, meanwhile, with a note, the subject line, media influencer. That term itself sounds like something good that should be promoted. With the crowd at the White House, media influencers should be arrested and sentenced to life without parole. Take it easy. Get rest. No, it's probably just going to be a straight-up extraction. Steve says, I see an extraction or a root canal crown in your future. Yeah, I don't have crown money. So it's probably just a yanking. And around here, yeah, the horror. Thanks. Thanks very, very kindly. Philip, feel better and rest as much as possible in between fighting for the environment in West Virginia. Thank you. I'm going to do my best. And hopefully I'll get this knocked down and the antibiotics will get things going. And right. So, again, thanks, everybody, for joining in. And thanks for the help in knocking down the last remainder of the deficit. Thank you very kindly indeed. And, wait, what? Jack in Shreveport says, hold the presses. Rush Limbaugh found not to be a media influencer. What? You mean with half my brain tied behind my back and talent on loan from God? He's not. I don't know, maybe I could use a handful of... No, you don't want that stuff. Next thing you know, you're giving $10,000 to your housekeeper to go out and bring you back street drugs. Obligatory Star Trek reference coming from Marty. Over Origel or anything else, we've said, any decent bottle of scotch will do that for you. Thanks, Marty. Marty says, get some good rest and drive carefully. I will. The other thing I have to do, and this is thanks going out to our buddy Texas T, I picked up a care package today. You want to talk about heartbreak? This is heartbreak. I am presently in possession of several packages of none other than Kaneka sausage. Had it shipped to me. And I got to get better because I got to have some of that before I get on the road. I may have to grind it up in a food processor. I may have to sip it through a straw, but damn, you understand. So, thanks to Texas T for that. All right, y'all, have a wonderful weekend. Have a great week without me. Agnes will be loading in the best ofs, and maybe it'll be some programs you've never heard before. I'll try to make sure that they're not last week's programs. I don't know. Maybe we'll do some reruns from a time before Trump. By the way, on the way out the door, Billable Rick says, in honor of the tremendous Arlo Guthrie, who I saw in concert last night at a small theater in Beverly Hills, along with his fabulously talented daughter Sarah and son Amos, I'd like to pledge $20 going forward to be doubled to 40 if that challenge is met, and we'll call it the This Horn Is Your Horn Challenge. Oh, that's worthy of one of those. Thank you, Billable Rick. So if there's... if there's $20 out there to match the challenge from Billable Rick, then he'll kick in with another 20, and that'll take us down to 306. $306 for fundraising for the evening. So I'm out of here, y'all. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to all of you all week long. Thanks for tuning in both to this program and to the Malloy program when I was substitute hosting. And thanks for helping to make sure that I don't have to sweat while I'm gone to make sure that the bills are paid. We just met and exceeded Billable Rick's challenge, courtesy of Mike in Cascadia. So that actually takes us down to $301 to go. Thank you. And thanks for the sympathy, Jim. I do appreciate it. All right, then. Poor Rufus. Jim says Rufus is having an extraction, too. Rufus has my sympathy. So it's kind of hard to say later, but I'll say later and go get horizontal. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a great week. And with any luck at all, we'll be talking about this time 7 days from now. Thanks to everybody who keeps this on the air. Thanks to everybody who listens and shares in their precious finite time engaged in this little conversation, however you do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks again to all-around great guy, pinch hit, end-of-the-week utility chat room moderator, Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you to the news ninjas. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Talk to you soon. See you in a week.